Well, guys, we're going to start straight away with a topic, I suppose, that got a lot of people talking last week and was around this platform for our Indigenous players to play at a higher level in the game.
Yeah, Dino, definitely a lot of chins wagging. You were quite the troublemaker last week.
Well, it wasn't intended to make trouble. It was intended to get people talking and offer what could be solutions or ideas. And I think for us to make it clear, the team that we propose to play in the Pacific Champs is to play in the Tier 2 of the Pacific Champs and definitely not to play against Australia. We're not interested in putting our boys up against the Australian team. We're seeing this as a pathway to the Australian team so that they can showcase their talents and their abilities to be selected for Australia down the track. And, you know, with the Origin, with a lot of the Pacific players that are going to play Origin and go to Pacific countries, we're going to have an Australian team that's going to be picked without players playing Origin football to prepare themselves. So same for our Indigenous players. We're looking at what are the opportunities and where there's a pathway for our players that might not get them opportunities at Origin.
Yeah, Dino, it was quite disappointing how out of context that whole chat got. I mean, a lot of people didn't see the whole segment and what we actually had to play. We're not trying to take, you know, our boys and our girls away from the Australian teams. That's their first priority. That's what we want to be their first priority. So it was quite disappointing to see how out of context it actually got taken. And but I think, you know, exactly what you're saying, we're just wanting another platform for some of our players to be able to play at that high level. And I know, T, you haven't been here for a couple of weeks. You would have heard about it, and what was your take on it?
Yeah, it seems that there's two different debates going on, or two different conversations. One is the International Rugby League, where the tier system of the laws and the governance is under the International Rugby League. And then we've got the Kangaroos and the Indigenous All-Stars sitting under the NRL banner. So when it comes to international football, like a lot of the Samoan team are Western Sydney boys, and it's really good that, you know, they get to play for New South Wales. They understand the brand of New South Wales, but also they've got a cultural obligation to play for their mob and play for their country. So, but that comes under the international laws on how they perceive that tier system. And when it comes to the Indigenous team coming into the PAC champs, if that was going to be the case, then whoever wins in the tier two system automatically goes into the tier one system. And that's where I think the debate can happen. You know, are we being divisive or are we being inclusive? And that's another discussion in itself. But there's two different conversations that's been done, and, you know, everything from the NRL to the International Rugby League, we just have to sort that out. But I think having these healthy discussions is a good point from both sides.
Yeah, and you mentioned the All-Stars there, and we do have a team right now and a platform, but I feel that the All-Stars have sort of fallen behind what the Pacific Nations test gets at the end of the year. And we've got to look at what the All-Stars has been a fantastic platform to build on. What is the next thing that we might build on after that, or how do we even develop All-Stars more into the future?
Yeah.
Now, moving on, and I want to give out some community shout-outs, and this was a good one I saw last week, was I ran into the Bulldogs, Josh Curran, who had his team had the bye on the weekend, but he was going out to Western New South Wales to visit a lot of the jails and the juvenile detention centres out there on his days off. So real big thumbs up there to Joshy Curran. He's doing some amazing stuff. But, Bo, you also got some shout-outs?
Yeah, I want to shout out to Adam Elliott and his younger brother James, and obviously Millie. Ad's dad passed, you know, a couple of days ago, and I got to meet him and see him at Adam and Millie's wedding. So we just want to, you know, send our love to everybody there and the extended family as well.
Yeah, big shout out there to Adam and Millie, and they're great supporters, obviously, and our thoughts and prayers are with them. Now, T, you've been away for the last couple of weeks. I spent a bit of time with you out there, had some great experiences actually with T, and tell us a bit about what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, Dino, I was out west, Western New South Wales with Tyron Roberts and then Willie T in the Northern Rivers and yourself, promoting like Deadly Choices and being an ambassador for the New South Wales Rugby League, the Deadly Blues. And what we were promoting was the 715 health checks, just promoting health, going out to the community, you know, spreading the awareness. And, you know, we had some good car rides, some good plane rides, Dino. There was one time we were on the plane and you was in the cockpit flying the plane, so that was a bit scary.
But scary.
I don't want to say I can do it all, but
Tawana says I can do it all. Mr. Worldwide.
But he's flying the planes now. He's not just travelling around the world, he's flying.
But a great thing was Over the Black Dot now on Spotify and Apple Music, whenever you're out there doing those long trips, you can tap into, like this man was, listen to us on the podcast there. How good's that?
Very good, I was on the podcast on Spotify, had my earphones on, blocking out the noise, relaxing and listening to the chats and what the news was on Over the Black Dot.
Nothing better than you want to put yourself to sleep is listen to my voice. But speaking of travelling around, the game also travelled around on the weekend, and I was lucky enough to go to your hometown in Darwin with Mahalia Murphy from the Eels NRLW and Peter Wynn. And we got out there and did a lot of community stuff. And it was great for me also to see the Rabbitohs when they visited Perth. I think South Cairns went to 9 schools over there, and Tyrone Munro, who sat here, Tyrone, with us a couple of weeks ago and talked about his role as a leader and impact he has on young kids. And he was getting out to all of those schools over there in Perth. And it's great to see rugby league clubs when they go and do those sort of things, that they have an impact on the local communities.
100%. And I think the impact over there was around 3,000 kids in Perth as well. But it's good that our game does give back in that way. It's good that, you know, we can get out into those communities, especially where the exposure for rugby league, especially high level rugby league, isn't that great. So to be able to go to places like Perth and like Darwin and have, you know, the NRL clubs invest in these areas around grassroots footy, around, you know, high performance as well. They get exposure to so much when these clubs go there. And being a kid from Darwin, you know, like, we never got that type of stuff when I was growing up. So to see that happening now for, you know, the youth of Darwin especially, is really, really good, and I hope it continues.
Now, WA football playing their second round this weekend, and Northern Territory also in their second round of the competition. So the local rugby league's already started up there. But what I did take away from the game up there, just when we're getting to the footy now, was the powerful Raiders forward pack. Now, they've got some big boys in there. They run the ball well. They demolished Parramatta up there, unfortunately, for the Hills. And the Raiders really stepping up. What did you take out of the weekend footy, you guys?
For me, I think the biggest thing I loved over in Perth was Braden Trindle. I think he had a really good game over there. You know, and it's, for me, it's starting that conversation around, you know, is he eligible? Is he good enough to go into that Origin squad now? So, you know, and I guess that's on everybody's mind as well because of the football that he is playing. And I suppose I'll put it to you guys. You guys have both played at very high levels. What is stopping him from going to that next level, T?
Yeah, I think when you're looking at Origin players, you're looking at stats. You're looking at, you know, how many finals that they've played. You know, the pressure, like for the back five, usually the team that's got the biggest backs are in a chance to win the series. But if you look at Braden Trindle's, you know, stats during the year, I think me and Bo Champion were talking about it early in the year. His stats were really good, but Nico Hines is actually touching the ball a lot more. You know, he would be a better suit if you're picking out the two because he's actually had Origin experience. Yeah. He's played in a lot of finals games. And even though we see Braden doing some really good kicking, his kicking game's really good. You see him touching a ball and running it. But when you go back to the stats, it's Nico that's really doing the main touches and runs.
I guess for me, I look at it, it's a three-game series, right? So these games are just, you don't have any, you can't leave anything in the tank. So I guess for me and probably for the viewers at home, we look at someone like Braden and go, this bloke is playing out of his skin. He should be considered. But I like that, you know, I guess the reasons why he may not be.
Yeah. See, where does a player develop his skills? You've played Origin. What prepared you for playing Origin? Is it playing sudden death football at the end of the year? Is it playing in grand finals? And you feel that this Sharks team for a player like Braden Trindle, Jesse Ramey and Will Kennedy, they're all in consideration. Even Nico Hines himself. Do you think that's the final sort of hurdle for them, is they've got to win big games at the end of the year to prove themselves ready for Origin?
Yeah, well, your bottom eight, Dino, they're not looking at those games. They're looking at when you're playing your Melbourne Storms, you know, your Penrith Panthers, even though they're playing pretty bad this year, but they're looking at the big games. And in the big games is how you shine those big games. Who's doing the most hit-ups? Who's touching the ball the most? Who's taking control under pressure? Who's making the big plays under pressure when the games are tight? That's what the coaches and the selectors are looking for, because when you get to the Origin level, it's not NRL football anymore. It's a different kind of level of footy. The best are there, and you're going on size. You're going on who makes, you know, the big plays in the big game, and that's what separates you from NRL.
Another player you've been watching closely is Tyrell Sloan from the Dragons. What have you made of his game and on the weekend, and how his season's going so far?
Yeah, I love Tyrell. Like, if you think about it, like going into the All-Stars camps, or when you see him at community events, or, you know, at the knockouts, like, he's just a really good kid, you know. He's just got a really good heart.
Positive,
he's positive. Yeah. There's a lot of light about him. I love being around him when I see him. But what he done on the weekend, scoring those two tries on the wing, like, they're really hard tries, and you can see he's athletic and everything like that. Where I see the Dragons at the moment, They're at 10. They look like a really good team. They're like the West Tigers. No one's looking at them, but they're building and they've got a really good roster. But with Tyrell, I see that him being on the wing is probably the best position for him at the moment. Mm. He's in the first grade. He's in the top squad. And, you know, over the last few years, he's been playing fullback. But Gutherson's going to be a really good role model for him. So from observation, I feel like he's going to get a lot. Tyrell and Gutherson, ability-wise, I back Tyrell. But when it comes to leadership, tactics and strategy, that's where Gutherson separates them two from the both. So if I'm Tyrell, he's only played, I think, 38 appearances for the club. So I think long term, he's going to get a lot out of Gutherson if Gutherson pulls him under the wing.
Now, I feel like a lot of young kids who are the great young players coming through, mm-hmm. they get put to fullback because their managers know that's where the money is, instead of biding their time on the wing. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, 100%. I feel that it's an experience. You've got to actually get into those positions by playing in other positions first. And like you said, with Gutho being there, maybe he has been brought to the club to set, Sloane up for that next move into fullback. Who knows?
I'm Bailey Hartwig. I play second row for New South Wales Cup just with the Newcastle Knights. Grew up in Forbes, but my mum's from Kunya in Cooma, the country, up near Cunnamulla. I've also got ties with the Wiradjuri people in Forbes. My earliest memory of rugby league with Forbes Magpies, sort of under sixes. There wasn't a day where you wouldn't walk around the streets in Forbes with a footy in your hand. I always grew up watching my uncles play, like my old man played, and you always just hear stories, and it just makes you eager for you to do it as well, and then it just becomes everything. The opportunity to come to move down here because my two boys moved back to Sydney, so I got on to Ronnie Griffiths. He was my coach at the first Stuart Cup there in IT, where I am today, and it just all went from there. There's been a few times where my coach has been significant in my life. Last year when my old girl passed away, getting back out to Bourke. She had a funeral out there. It blew me away, just the people that would come from far away. She was everything. I mean, at times she sort of loved footy more than I did when I was sort of going the wrong way. Ben Gunny runs war. He brought her into the camp, and just the way that mum sort of just took control, before games, she'd get us kneeling down, and she'd sort of just give us like words of wisdom and advice. When things have been going wrong in my life, I've always turned to her, and she's always had the right answer. I'll always head back to the country once I'm done up here and finish playing footy. It's just everything to me. Knockout's obviously a massive one for us. I played Northwest Barbarian. I was only 16. I think my front row was Big Dane Laurie. They kicked off the first game. He was behind me and I turned and passed him. I think he ran the field and scored. From 16, 17, I've played every year. I'm 26 now. Played war and I've been around some of them boys my whole life. I grew up with them. I played junior footy with them. I played senior footy with them before I went away and started playing professional footy.
Kick inside for Nilsson. The try score. Yes, he does it again. And scores the try for Wiradjuri.
Jerome Burns, unbelievable knockout player.
Oh, he takes it. Can you believe it? Incredible work.
The ball skills. Don't know how he hasn't played NRL yet, but can't wait to see him get his start down the Bunnies. Best knockout. Probably the year I played in the grand final against WAC. We got beat.
He's been the star of this game.
I just felt that year was just like going right to the end was massive, Like it was just something I'd done before and like that was the better side in the day, yeah. But it makes you want to get back there for sure. WAC, we're coming for you. Go war. Even if you don't make NRL, it doesn't matter. You just keep pushing. It's the memories you make along the way. They're the things that last a lifetime. My culture is everything. It's what you grew up in. It's what you're still in today. It's what you will be in the future as well.
A very touching story there, mm-hmm. and it's great to see him give that tribute to his mum, but big hopes for him at the knockout,
Oh, big hopes for his knockout dreams. We'll see, come this year in Tamworth.
We wish you all the best, Bailey. Now, yesterday they released the Origin, and I know people are thinking, is it too early to start talking about Origin? But Origin's that exciting that you can't help it. But yesterday the Queensland women's team released their squad, and some really good players in there, but they're missing a couple of big names,
aren't
they?
Yeah, look, we've got our awesome players. Obviously, Taryn Aiken's back in there, Tamika Upton, Jess Ellison up there in the forwards. I've seen Chelsea Lanaduzzi's back in there. But, yeah, like you said, big key players out due to pregnancy, which is Shannon Mato and also Vania Pelite. So, she also got married over the break, so congratulations to her. But, definitely going to miss her in that Origin mix.
Veteran Ali Brigginshaw still in there. Queensland haven't made too many changes, and they didn't really need to.
Yep.
You happy with what you see there as far as new players coming in? Jazzy Peters comes in.
Yeah, Jazzy was a big one I wanted to mention. You know, her coming in, she'll be quite strong out there in the centres if she is to make the team. But I'm really surprised with, I guess, Hayley Maddock. I'm not surprised, but I am. Obviously, she plays fullback for the Broncos now, and we'll see Tamika Upton going into that position. But I remember Princey putting her at lock at a couple of games last year where she absolutely carved up. So, you know, it's quite interesting what they're doing in that space with Hayley Maddock. But if they do put her in lock, we've seen what she can do. But then you've got Keely Joseph, you've got a few other ladies that can play lock. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Hayley.
Yeah, with the women's game continuing to go from strength to strength, it's going to be a great Origin series.
Yep.
And we sat together and thought about, New South Wales hasn't released their team yet.
No.
What can we put together as a likely New South Wales team, or a team that we'd like to see? And there's certainly some players there that we'd love to see in there. I thought Tegan Berry, Cassie Tohi-Hiku, Mahalia Murphy, some of the clear ones there I want to see added to this Blues side. And this Blues team needs to come up with something, don't they? They need some changes because they need to win this series.
Yeah, the New South Wales team aren't going to announce their squad until around the 23rd, I think, of April. So it's going to be interesting. But this is our little over the black dot team that we've come up with. And, you know, I want to see Shaylee Bent back in there. I definitely think that, you know, she was injured last year. I can't wait to see her. Hopefully she can chuck that jersey back on. But also Quincy Dodd, we looked at being back in the team. But probably the big one for me, I think, deserves a run is Mahalia. You know, we saw her in the squad for Australia in Vegas. So I definitely think that she needs to get the chance and the opportunity to show what she can do, especially in that blue jersey. But, you know, the big one is probably Kira Dibb. Seeing how her knee goes, seeing if she's going to be back playing that half position and who she pairs with is something that's definitely going to be interesting to see. But you guys are missing, you know, two key players as well due to pregnancy, and Caitlin Johnson and also Millie Boyle or Millie Elliott. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a really, really good Origin series, I reckon.
What do you make of that lack and that fire up top with those two players out? Will the Blues have enough there? Do you think they cover that?
Yeah, Dino, I like Chapman and Pinatani as wingers. They are really good centres, and they were probably the informed centres last year. But them playing on the wing, it just bulks up the back five. And, you know, to win Origin, you need big backs. And, you know, Chapo last year playing in the wing, as you mentioned earlier, Bo, is that she can make breaks from a kick return in transition. She can get you back to the 50. She can make big breaks on one-on-one as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good back five if that's going to be the team selected for Origin.
Now, we've got an experienced back five there, as you talk about.
Yep.
Tegan Berry, Cassie Tohi-Hiku, I believe two of the best young players coming through in the game. Tegan Berry had an amazing season last year. I feel they've got to find a spot for her there. Yeah. Well, is it too early to make that call?
No, I don't think so. Like, we saw her form. We've seen her form and how good it's been in the last couple of years. And there's been chat around her making that team or making the squad at least. And it just hasn't happened. So I think it's time. I think, you know, it just depends on what they're thinking in terms of in their game plan and where they're going and who's available, et cetera. So I definitely think she should be in the mix and given the opportunity. It's going to be hard over Tonegata because we've seen how good she's played, and especially towards finals last year. But, yeah, it's definitely, it's in there. I definitely think she should make that squad.
Now, while we're excited about Origin in the women's game, the men's game, they'll start talking about that soon. Is there a bolter for these Origin teams to come, the men's teams? Who's your bolter for the New South Wales men's teams?
I don't care about New South Wales. Ask the Green Eye Monster.
Go to you. Who's your bolter for New South Wales?
Oh, okay. Well, if I'm going to pick an Indigenous player, I'm going for Brian Kelly. The reason I'm going for Brian Kelly is that he's experienced, and that I watched him in All-Stars over the years, and just his work rate, getting back in transition, getting quick play to balls. The play in that position, you need quick play to balls so you can get it in transition. And also, I like it when he gets early ball. He knows how to isolate centres and he knows how to get around him. He's always, you know, he's always a half a break or, you know, setting up a try. So if it's going to be a bolter, it's Brian Kelly.
Definitely up to it. Who's the Queensland bolter?
Okay, I'm going to have to say Jaden Campbell. Reason being, like number 14 coming off the bench, that old sort of JT, Matty Bowen connection, that's what he reminds me of. He could change a game, that fella. He comes on, impact player. And I know his father's from New South Wales, but he's a Queenslander. So, Jaden Campbell for me.
Yeah, they had a fight over Devon, over a slice of Devon. In a caravan park.
One of my favourite people in the whole wide world, one of my brothers, Ty Ty Roberts. You like chilli?
I've got a daughter named Chilli. I love the taste, I hate the feeling.
After.
Yeah.
I want you to show your kids our tough yard. Whew. Tell me you're a black fella without telling me you're a black fella.
I love curry on everything. Curry noodles, curry sausages. I love Devon. Everyone knows that I love shaking leg and dancing.
I want to talk to you about and that. I reckon you can lick that one.
That went straight to the back of the throat.
Good ways.
Good ways. I swallowed that too quick.
Oh, Tyrone Roberts, how good is it to stop with Tyrone? And he's one of the favourites here, and you would have enjoyed that.
Yeah, do you know who Ty Ty is? He is one of my favourite humans. He's an amazing bloke, amazing husband to Brit and father to the three kids, and I loved having a good yarn to Ty again.
One of the best shake-a-leggers there is out there. Now, on to round 7 of the NRL on Easter weekend, and it all starts on Good Friday. And the South Sydney fans, they'll be hoping the Easter Bunnies deliver early and get the chocolates there against the Bulldogs.
Chocolates.
Now, see, this Bulldogs team, undefeated in season 2025. It's not someone you want to come up to, but it's a big atmosphere out there on Good Friday. They'll have a massive crowd all coming from the Easter show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you make of it?
Yeah, like Good Friday, it's a big event, isn't it, Dino? And the Bulldogs, they've come out of the blocks, you know, hard this year, you know, 5 from 5, and they're coming in here against South Sydney who, you know, there's been a few injuries and a few bumps, but, you know, Wayne's team, you can't doubt mm-hmm. Sydney. If there's a big crowd, the boys will be up for it. And the thing is with Wayne, he plays a basic. He plays, you know, until he puts pressure on other teams. If they make mistakes, he punishes them for it. But the Bulldogs, yeah, they've been really good this year, very consistent.
It's always a good start to the Easter weekend, that game. And I'll be out there with my Dagwood dog from Easter show. Now, Penrith versus the Roosters, this is a danger game because I can't. The Panthers, 5 losses in a row. It could be 6 this weekend because the Roosters are full of confidence.
Yeah, we spoke about it earlier on in the year around. They lost a couple of games and are they that team now that, you know, they've lost the likes of Jerome Luai? You know, could this be the year that they're not going to go that well? And I do feel for them. And I guess, you know, they still haven't had their full team back on the pitch yet. We see Dylan Edwards, I don't know if he's still a bit injured, but, you know, it's definitely something that you want to talk about. But at the same time, you can't ride them off. I really struggle to ride them off because of how amazing Cleary is and how, you know, they can get that team back up. So we'll see.
If they lose 6 in a row against a Roosters team that will probably be the favourites this week, I am going to write Penrith off for season 2025, ooh. I think.
Okay.
They look really low on confidence at the moment. Mm-hmm. They're struggling a bit. And I can't see them bouncing back. Now, the game we do want to get to is the Raiders versus Titans. And I'm looking forward to the battle of the halves. Mm-hmm. Jaden Campbell up against Jamal Fogarty. Now, these are two halves who are totally different in the way they play. Two teams that are totally different.
Totally different in every way. We got, you know, Jamal Fogarty, who's got very level head. His game management is just impeccable. At the moment, he is playing the best football I've ever seen him play. But then you got someone like Jaden Campbell, who is so unpredictable, can turn a game on its head. He is absolute magic. And he's, like I said, he is my bolter. I definitely would love him to see him in that mix with the Origin team. But, you know, when he's on, he's on. And there's no stopping Jaden. He's so, like I said, he's so unpredictable. He's ball playing. He can play anywhere. Really, his defence is awesome. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting matchup between those two teams. And then, you know, obviously Titans are going to be very unpredictable as they are. But, I'll be out there as well, Dino, this weekend. So it'll be a really, really good matchup.
I really enjoyed watching the Canberra team up close and seeing them. They're so physical in the forwards. Their forward pack is very dominant. I think it's one of the best packs in the competition. And that consistent play that they come from. T, what's the problem with the Titans? They are so inconsistent. They're up and down. They've got a roster there that should be winning more games and should be challenging for a top 4, top 8 position.
Like, I think for the Titans, Dino, I think there's players that are very talented, but when it comes to hard work and playing under pressure, when it comes down to, you know, a 4 or 2 point game, I see players, they shy out of it. And I think that's where the problem starts with the team. And for the majority of the players, you know, there's some really good players in that team, like Tino, You know, Jaden's playing some really good football. Brian Kelly's playing some good football, but there's some players in there that will shy away from the hard stuff. So I think if they can zone on that and play the arm wrestle and play them hard games, and Canberra Raiders is going to be one of those challenges game, they can evolve their game as a team.
Is there a player that you'd like to see step up and create an opportunity for the Titans to become more consistent? Because I think Tino, Fasua Malawi, is the key to Titans playing better every week. And if they can get behind him and support him more, I think you'll get a more consistent performance.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think the energy he brings week in, week out, and I know he's missed that, you know, that time off that he had due to his ACL, he brings so much energy. Everybody in that team needs to jump on board with what he's trying to do. And I think you'll see a different Titans, but it's all about consistency. They need to do it week in, week out.